this Easter Sunday, the holiest of the days in the Christian calendar. It's also Passover for the Jewish faith community, not only in South Africa, but around the world. The question we'll be asking today, what is the role of faith-based organizations during a pandemic of this kind? And Dr. Selina Palm is the individual who's going to help us think through that. Selina Palm is a senior researcher at the Unit for Religion and Development Research at Stellenbosch University. Selina, very good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning, thanks.
There's no doubt that religious-based organizations, faith-based organizations have a role to play in times like this. What is that role?
So, Africa, of course, we've got the same role that all the rest of the civil society organizations have, you know, promoting the gospel of hand washing, making sure that we're disseminating, you know, truth and not fake news, and, you know, providing all sorts of emotional supports to people. But I think faith-based organizations also have a unique role, and because of who they are and the relationships that they have with people and the trust that people have in them. And I suppose it's that unique piece that I'd like us to talk a little bit more about today.
In a conversation, in fact, I had with Jeffrey Tandikai and Abdul on Friday morning. They represent communities of Gugulethu-Langa. Jeffrey Tandikai is Khayelitsha, and Abdul lives in Woodstock but works with the community of Bishop Lavers. The common thread there was that the message of COVID-19 has not landed in many of those communities because they do not trust politicians. Yes, they're seeing the president, Cyril Ramaphosa, I think, doing a sterling job in leading the fight against this pandemic. We're seeing Dr. Zweli Mkhize, an excellent health minister, is proving to be really leading from the front in response to this. One or two other ministers who probably should not be there, but that's a different conversation for another day. But the point that was made, particularly by Jeffrey and Tandikaya, is that we need to build that sense of trust, certainly between government and community, particularly around a time like this. And I imagine church leaders and church organizations are an avenue that can be exploited in a moment like this, right?
Yes. So I think that the sort of trust that religious leaders have in communities is incredibly important. We know in South Africa that they're one of the most trusted groups of people above everybody else, including our media. So there's an enormous possibility there, I think. But at the same time, we have to be honest and say that, you know, religious leaders themselves get caught up in the business of fake news. And we've seen that in many parts of Africa. And because religious leaders have so much trust, what they say is believed and is followed. So I think they have enormous access. We see churches and mosques on corners of every street corner in some of the most vulnerable and poor parts of our communities. And yet religious leaders themselves need support and need information. And yes, that's the same information as everybody else, but they're also asked unique questions. You know, they're asked questions about faith and belief. So we've seen in many parts of Africa, we've seen the president of Tanzania making comments about how COVID is Satan and, you know, you just need to pray. We've seen people in Nigeria saying, no, as a child of God, you're immune to COVID. And, you know, we've seen large prayer gatherings still taking place, you know, in places that are irresponsible. So that's not to say, and I'm obviously going to talk about some of the really positive, practical things that churches can do. But the first thing that they have to do is they have to refute these kind of fake news items that are happening in terms of belief.
How just on that, Selina, how if and I'm going to use an example here, please do not take offense if you are listening.
That's okay.
Not you, but somebody listening.
People are listening.
Many of the faith leaders that I have been disappointed on are generally evangelical, happy clappy sort of leaders, right? Who then profess that I'm bathed in the blood of Jesus Christ, so therefore I'm immune to COVID-19. How would you propose that matter be dealt with? Because science proves that this is what's going to happen. Should you be infected by COVID-19, this is how you will be infected by COVID-19, and these are the measures you can take to make sure that you're not infected by COVID-19. But here is somebody who's so resolute in their belief that their faith in God is enough for them to spare them from COVID-19. How do you navigate that tension?
So thank you for bringing this up, because this is an incredibly important tension. And just to say, we've seen this in the past. We've seen this with HIV. We've seen this in the way that people with disabilities and people with chronic conditions are often treated. They're told that if they have enough faith and if they pray, God will protect them. And, you know, this is a theology that kills, and it's killed people in the past, and it will kill people now if we're not able to educate religious leaders and help them to see that there's many, many different ways to have faith in ways that aren't irresponsible in the light of science. We can tend to see that certain pastors like to sort of say, no, my faith is bigger than science. And really, we have to understand all of the many, many different ways in which God works to heal, and all of the wonderful people, doctors and nurses and social workers and people that God uses in order to help and to help support us. And we really, really have to be very careful about stories. And we saw this with HIV, and we're starting to see it again, of COVID being a punishment, or COVID being for people that don't have enough faith. All these ideas of Jesus or the Spirit as somehow miraculously preventing us or protecting us. And also the idea that we have to come together as churches in order to meet, so that the gatherings are very important because this puts people at risk. And I think in order to do that, we have to be able to educate. We have to be able to speak theologically to religious leaders. We have to give them an alternative way, which is what happened with HIV, an alternative way of speaking about this pandemic that is responsible. And that's not about not talking about faith. It's about talking about faith in a different way and of being able to be church. Sometimes we think church is something we do, and if we can't turn up on a Sunday, especially on Easter Sunday, and celebrate with everybody else, then we're not being church or doing church. But actually, there's been a million and one different ways of being church throughout the ages. And in the end, what it means to be church is to recognize we're one body, and that when one part of us suffers, all of us suffer. And I think that kind of message, the message of solidarity in the one body, resonates completely with what our president is saying and resonates with the core focus of Christian faith, but also of many other faiths. The idea of the one body is there within Islam, the Ummah, and in many other faiths, the idea that when we come together as communities of faith, we support one another in solidarity. And therefore, we're able to adapt and change depending on the circumstances. And COVID has given us new circumstances. Some religious leaders and many religious leaders are responding very responsibly. But we are seeing certain religious leaders who are doing harm. And I think it's very important in our media spaces, we make sure that the voices that we promote are those of the progressive, responsible religious leaders, and that we're prepared to challenge those who say things which are damaging, because people believe them, because they're trusted.
I often remind my friends who are frustrated at the fact that they cannot gather with fellow Christians at this time that while, yes, when Jesus was alive, there was no church because, of course, Christianity only started afterwards. But he was a Jew. He went to a temple. And the only time I can remember reading about him being inside a temple during the, in the New Testament of the Bible was when he was admonishing people who were using the temple as a place to trade and to collect taxes. And he did all of his ministry, as far as what I can remember from Bible study, at least anyway, was outside. It was in the fields. It was in the hills. It was in people's homes, and not in this building that is ornate and elaborate for people to gather every Sunday to come and pray. But let's perhaps shift to the positives that faith-based organizations, the mosques, the temples, the churches, the leaders of those structures can do to help support this fight against pandemic.
So I think there's a wonderful job that can be done in what in the Christian tradition in particular is called pastoral care. So churches often have unique access to their local communities. And, you know, forgive me, I come from a Christian tradition, so sometimes I'm speaking specifically about the church because that's my context. But I think a lot of this would apply equally to other local faith communities and mosques and temples. So pastoral care, we're making sure people aren't left behind, links to the elderly, links to the vulnerable, links to those who are sick. There's often pre-existing relationships. So in my church community, we've set up a calling tree. So everybody, there's a task team that's been set up, and then everybody has 10 people. And their job is to call and check in with that person on a weekly basis, ask them what they want prayer for, create a little Bible study that can actually happen in virtual ways. And use the fact that the majority of us actually have cell phones to check in. And I think one of the things that's happened for us as a church as we've done that is we've realized that some people have said, oh, I've never been contacted so much before. And there's been a way of really building connection through that idea of the one body in online ways. We've used our young people more. Our young people have helped our leaders to be able to move certain things online. And that's been wonderful because they've added a value into our traditional services and done them in different ways. We speak about social distancing, but I think what we really need is the idea of physical distancing, but social connectedness, especially if the lockdown continues and is over very important festivals, Christian festivals and Islamic festivals. We're actually going to need to find new ways to feel that we're fulfilling these spiritual responsibilities in ways that are taking note of COVID. So there's this whole piece around emotional support, around not leaving vulnerable people behind. But there's also physical things which can be done. So, for example, the majority of churches and faith-based organizations have premises. They have property. And there's going to be real needs for testing facilities, even for care facilities, for spaces that can actually be used in the fight against COVID. So the Warehouse Trust, an organization that works with churches here in Cape Town, has laid out a set of guidelines which people can use. They can go to the website. Religious leaders can get support to help them think through how do they use their premises in a responsible way? How do they themselves prepare in advance? So I think there's lots of things that churches can do to be more prepared, and they don't have to do this on their own, and mosques and temples. There's a really big online resources site that's been made available through Berkeley in the States around what faith-based organizations all around the world have done and what's worked and what's not worked so well. And I think what we need to do is making sure that our religious leaders are capacitated. You know, they're not on their own. They're supported to know what are useful things to do, what are things they need to be thinking about, and also to maintain that spiritual dimension. I spoke before about the unique role of faith-based organizations. People are very anxious at the moment. They're struggling with fear and panic, and that can play out in forms of stigma and discrimination between people. And the church has seen this before, again, around HIV and AIDS. Now, faith-based spaces can make those things worse, or they can help provide spiritual support to actually help people feel hopeful rather than feel anxious. And I suppose, you know, on Easter Sunday, early in the morning, that message of hope, which, as you kind of mentioned before, the Easter message is fundamentally about hope. And it's not hope sitting in a building altogether. It's hope outside. It's hope in the everyday spaces of life. And I suppose on an Easter Sunday morning, remembering that that story, that spiritual message, wasn't about an institution that met together within four walls. It was about taking the Easter message out and making it real in our homes and in our families. And that's something we can do wherever we are in the time of COVID.
A beautiful reflection there. Thank you very much indeed for your time this morning, Dr. Selina Palm, and have yourself a very blessed Easter. Senior researcher at the Unit for Religion and Development Research at Stellenbosch University.